life is characterized by fear because everyone is afraid of death. So this fearfulness is coming because the body is going to end and people are identifying with the body. Therefore, they don't want to step. They are pushing death away because it means by the aspect of time, Krishna Tama gets time takes away everything. And this causes fear and anxiety in the hearts of materialistic people. So they are identifying with something that they are not. So material, any knowledge actually that does not lead one to reviving their understanding or reviving their consciousness of Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit and I am part and parcel of Krishna, it is simply a waste of time. As Prabhupada uses here a wonderful analogy of being in a prison house, whether you violate the laws or you don't violate the laws, by not calculating this understanding, one increases the duration in the prison house. So by not getting out of this ignorance, by not seeking out transcendental knowledge, we are extending our visa in this material world. We're extending our stay because we're not cultivating the right knowledge, the knowledge of the self. And the knowledge of the self goes alongside knowledge of the Supreme Person. So by the rising of the sun, one gets to see oneself and everything around them. So by cultivating knowledge about Krishna, not only does one understand Krishna, but one understands everything else. Everything else actually becomes illuminated. So Krishna brings illumination. Krishna is all auspicious. So anything that happens in the life of a devotee, it is all auspicious because it is sent to sin propagated by the Supreme Lord and His agents. So in all species of life, this fear aspect is there because we are born into ignorance. We are born into material bodies not knowing who we are, where we are, where do we come from. Of course, the fortunate soul in the womb is praying to the Supreme Lord that he may always remember that he is his servant, that when he comes out, he will serve the Supreme Personality. But the external energy, it is so powerful, it makes us forget. And this forgetfulness is what keeps us in constant anxiety. So in all species of life, there is this fear aspect caused by ignorance. And generally the human form of life is not meant for a life of fear, because in the human form of life one has the intelligence to inquire about higher subject matters. And those who do not inquire into the nature of the self, as Prabhupada would say, they are polished animals. Living a life of fear means we're just polished animals. We're living a life of instinct. We're living a life of sense gratification, sensual pleasures. So the liberation that Prabhupada mentions from cultivating the right source of knowledge means that we get relief from this constant anxiety of fear. So this relief means we get to understand how to break the cycle, how to get out of the cycle of repeated birth and death. And by having the basic understanding that death is merely a change of body for the spirit soul, it is a transmigration of the soul. And depending on your activities, you can either go, you can either get elevated in consciousness or you can devolve in consciousness. So this liberation that we are after, this mukti, is only possible when this type of desire, these anxieties, are engaged in the process of devotional service. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Shravanam and Kirtanam, one actually gets to destroy this fear. We get to be reminded about the nature of each living entity, that each living entity is minutely a part and parcel of Krishna. So part and parcel means that you have the same quality as Krishna. And to understand who Krishna is, you must hear from the authorized text of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains the nature of Krishna, the nature of his body, the nature of his actions, the nature of his reciprocation, and the nature of his mercy. So by understanding how Krishna and his different shaktis operate, one can get to become fearless. But we will get realization that we are we're different from the body. Not only are we not the body, but we have nothing to do with material nature actually. So the common example that we can, at least for myself, that we can try and understand, no matter how much you can try to mix oil and water, it just eternally that composition will never amalgamate. Oil can actually never mix with water. Even if you artificially try so many processes, technological processes, if you try and alter the heat, etc., oil and water does not mix. So, spirit can never become dull and inert. Spirit can never become stagnant. So the nature of the soul is spirit. It is eternal. It is ever fresh. But we are identifying, we're trying to merge our material consciousness, we're trying to merge all the material activities into something that is eternal. Right? We want to stay here in this world of complexities because we think it will still be here for a very, very long time. We enter into material relationships, we enter into material association, into families, etc., with the material mindset, thinking that it is always going to be happy, it is always going to give us ever fresh new experiences. And the nature of material existence is that it shrinks, or it takes away the freshness, it takes away the taste. Material existence is stale. Has anyone here ever had any stale bread? Anyone ever baked bread and then 2 weeks later you think that you can still enjoy it? I mean, you can toast it and then that can kind of alter your taste buds. But stale bread is stale bread. But it's not fresh. We can try and put, avo and honey and, salt and pepper and make it look nice, which is what mutual existence is. You try and make everything look nice, but it is based on a stale foundation. Because everyone is fearful, how long will this last? We try to hog everything. You try and hog your body, right? The Atma also denotes the body. So we're trying to hog the body that we have by putting all sorts of creams on it to make it look eternal, by Botoxing it left, right, and center, by nip and tucking the body, by, extending your eyebrows, by laser surgery to have perfect vision, material vision for a very long time, by trying to make yourself look a certain way for an extended period of time. Because we're fearful, we're thinking, this is me, this body is me, and as soon as something breaks, there is fear. Because there's no knowledge of the self. We're thinking the self is just this matter. So there's so much fear, we're trying to retain matter, but nature, matter by nature will deteriorate. Over time, matter, it's not that it recycles itself, it will recycle itself back to earth as the elements go back, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. They naturally go back into the universe. The elements themselves are eternal, but we're thinking we are those elements eternally, but we're not. We are spirit. So this fear that drives the material world is based on a lack of self-realization. And that knowledge of self-realization is actually what makes us see properly. We see the material world by hearing Bhagavatam. When you hear about the nature of matter and spirit, you get to understand what you're dealing with. So it's not that if we were to base it just on our seeing, we're in Australia, Everything looks good. It's very clean. The people smile. They look happy. Everything is packed away. Everything is organized. It's permanent. But everything looks nice. Everything is just stamped and taped. It looks good. It must be good. Everyone must be happy. But let's just get to hear what happens in the material world. Then you understand. And what happens in the material world has already been explained in the Bhagavatam. Right? The nature of a person in material existence. The nature of conditioned souls in material existence. Manda sumanda. Right? The mind always disturbed. But the mind is always disturbed. Because the mind is, you can say that the sitting place, you know, material existence kind of, it begins in the mind and it ends in the mind. We're constantly contemplating, I want this, I want that. I'm hankering for this, I'm lamenting, I don't have that. So we make all these plans in the mind. Our material existence begins in the mind. So we're constantly planning and we're constantly getting bashed by the material energy. Because we think that this daivi shakti, this material energy of Krishna, the conditioned soul thinks that he can go, you know, one-on-one with it. But we can't actually. We can't fight the material energy by ourselves. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that the only way to actually cross over this hurdle is to take shelter of him. So, to get out of this fearful state means we have to cultivate the right knowledge of the self. It doesn't mean that you hear Bhagavatam and it's all about God, and God is great, and God is big, and offer your prayers to Him, and it's just God, and no. Bhagavatam explains everything from material elements to the nature of matter, how it changes, how it influences us, how we can influence it, how we can manipulate material elements, so many things, the results and consequences, the nature of the real self, the characteristics of the Atma. Bhagavatam explains all these things. But the main point in Bhagavatam is to help us develop this attraction to just find pleasure in Krishna. Right? Maharaj Parikshit, his name, the examiner, right? Krishna blessed him by being, he showed his form while he was in the womb, and from just that, those few moments of seeing Krishna, his entire existence was enamored and captured by the Absolute Person, Purushottama, Krishna. So his entire existence after he came out of the womb was just to find that person. So we should also inquire, like that our existence should be to seek out Krishna, to search out for Krishna. The Bhagavatam explains how we get rid of fear by Shravanam and Kirtanam. Fear is actually boxed out or kicked out by Shravanam and Kirtanam. The more you hear and chant about the transcendental nature of Krishna, the more we'll be able to understand also what our nature is and stop being in a fearful state of basically ignorance. But it's not just the philosophical thing, you're just here and chant the Bhagavatam and your life will be perfect and serve the Maha devotees, etc., etc. It's not just knowledge, but it's something that is factual. It is a science. So the word fear in itself, it comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, fire. So it's F-A-E-R. In the English word of cold, it is fear, and it means a sudden attack, entrapped, ambushed, or snared. So you just don't see it coming. You think you're fine. An ambush is kind of like, you know, you're just walking, and then out of nowhere, you're just surrounded by, you know, military agents and people from the sky, from the earth, from the trees, from nature. You're ambushed. You're in the center and you're just attacked. Right? If you ever watched any movies, any war movies, you can understand what an ambush is. You don't see it coming. You think everything is fine in material existence. And then the modes of material nature, they come at different angles. So they come Adi Atika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Devika. Right? From all sides, from all angles. Community, nation, family, wife, husband, children, tormenting, anguish, right? Causes fear. Or if I don't do this, will my wife will kill me, or my husband, or my kids, fearful, always fearful. How am I going to retain my money so that I can have a prestigious name? You know, the family name can go on for years and years. Gross and subtle. And sometimes in a subtle way, we're after that pratista, that glorification. And sometimes like, oh Prabhu, we're performing this yagya for you because you've helped us so much. And then inside we're thinking, oh, it's about time someone recognizes me. And it's about time you devotees bow down to me. And sometimes so this is the snare of Maya. In a very subtle way we're thinking, oh, it's been 10 years and it took you that long to actually, you know, worship me. Now this is the snare of Maya. We think we're in the material, world, and we're trying to make everything fine. We're trying to make everything comfortable. And when things don't go our way, how dare you? When things don't go our way, don't you understand who I am? I'm the CEO of Coca-Cola. Therefore, I do not line up in the grocery store. I've been a devotee for 15 weeks. Come on. I don't line up for prasadam on the festival day. I've been a devotee for 10 years. So, this is a snare from Maya. We're fearful because we're actually identifying with the body. The reason why people are actually fearful of death, is because they know that at death, the body is going to stay. The bank account is staying, the beautiful husband, wife is staying, those cute kids are staying, your name is staying, everything is staying. And you don't know what where you're going. So people don't want to die. Although they say, yeah, I'm going, no, I'm not fearful of anything. Try and take one thing away from their life. And they go manic. Right? They go crazy. So there's a wonderful verse in the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto explaining the fearful situation of a conditioned living entity. Bhayam vitar nivesha tasyat isara pithasya viprayano smriti tanmayaya to buddhava dittam bhakte kriyesham gurudevatmanam. Fear arrives when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. Absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. So we hold material energy to be very near and dear to us. We take the illusory activities and we place them in the heart. We plant these seeds and then we water them. This is absorption. And whatever happens around you, you are absorbed in that object. Kind of like, you know, the story of Bilba Mangala Thakur, right? The prostitute was waiting and she was convinced that he won't come. The weather is atrocious. We will not enjoy tonight. And she was on her way to bed. But because Bilba Mangala Thakur was absorbed in thought of enjoying the, in an illusory sense, enjoying another's material body. No, he did not see the weather. He did not see the danger. He just went. Right? It was raining buckets. He was grabbing a hold of snakes, thinking it's ropes. He was crossing, you know, the rivers. And then he came knocking on the door, and this prostitute said, "You have lost your mind. Just for some sense gratification, you are willing to
go through so many dangerous situations. And the most dangerous situation, of course, is to lose our identity. So material existence, this absorption in the external energy creates, you know, fear. If anything that we're absorbed in is taken away, we become anxious to get it back. And when we don't get it back, we think that our life is over. So this is what happens to a conditioned soul. When the living entity in this way when the living entity turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as the servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful situation is affected by the potency of illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipful deity and his very life and soul. So this is a verse spoken to one of the nine Yogendras, Kavi, to King Nimi. So if you want to be fearful persons, the process that is given is Vitya Raga Bhaya Krodha Man Maya Mam Upasita Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Puta Mad Bhavam Agata. Being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they attained transcendental knowledge. So this fearful situation of material existence, Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport, as he says that in all species of life, this fear mentality is there. But as a human being, we can actually break this fear because we have this faculty of being able to use our intelligence in Krishna's service. So using our intelligence in Krishna's service means that we understand where to get the right source of knowledge. Yes, we have to make ends meet. We have to maintain the body and soul. Therefore, education is required. But that is not the topmost knowledge. The topmost knowledge is understanding what is matter, what is spirit, what is my relationship to that, and what is the source of both matter and spirit. That is transcendental knowledge. Not just focusing on one aspect of material knowledge and seeing that as the absolute and forgetting everything else. If one desires actually to be freed from this fear mentality, which basically translates to, if one wants to become freed from bodily identification, then one has to engage in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. This is how we drive away fear. Because this notion of identifying ourselves as controllers of external energy, or identifying ourselves as having an eternal relationship with the external energy, puts us into a fearful situation. So if we break that attachment, if we detach ourselves from matter and attach ourselves to Krishna, then there is no fear. So a wonderful way, of course, to break this fear aspect is to just, as Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, that we surrender. Surrender doesn't just mean, okay, Krishna, surrender, I'll come every day to the temple. Surrender means wholeheartedly you give up your Ishvara mentality. We give up our bogus mentality of thinking we're actually in control. We can control the material energy. We can figure out how to get out of this web of material existence. We actually can't figure it out and we can't do it by ourselves. We need Krishna's assistance. We need Krishna's assistance actually for everything. Now if we understand that, we can become a little bit humble. And even to forget Krishna, we need Krishna's assistance. We need Krishna to create material existence so that we can come and try and become little Ishvaras. We need Krishna's energy to try and enjoy and get frustrated, then turn back to Him. We need Krishna's energy to be able to understand that He's in the deity form. We need Krishna's transcendental sound to revive our dormant love for Him. So in essence, Krishna is the cause of everything. He's the Sarvakarana Karanam. And once we recognize that, once we are humbled by that mere fact, then it becomes easy to surrender. Surrender to the cause of all causes. And everything is sparking, everything emanates from Krishna. So by surrendering to Krishna, it doesn't just mean by standing in front of the deity and saying, I surrender. You don't surrender for one day, for 2 days, for 3 days. But you give your life, you say, Krishna, I am yours, please accept me. We accept everything that is favorable for our bhakti and we reject things that are not favorable for bhakti. We might be offered a big job. That might mean we can go to India whenever we want. We have so much money, we can travel, this, that. But how much is that aiding your bhakti? Does it mean your devotional service decreases? And if that's the fact, we reject that. Now, devotional service, actually, there's no... We should go with the mentality that there is no perks in devotional service. That we don't practice devotional service because Krishna will reciprocate and give me this. That is contaminated consciousness. Devotional service is for the... Everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. And just by doing that, actually, we'll get to realize how much Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna says... Surrender, man mana bhava mad bhakto mam yaji mam namaskuru. Just worship me, surrender up to me, offer me your homage. Krishna says he will protect us. He will wipe out the slate of sinful reaction and take us to the kingdom of Goloka, where there is no fear. Take us to Vaikuntha Dham, no anxiety. There's no misidentification, Vaikuntha. There's no anxiety. There's no thinking I'm the body, I'm in a gross or subtle way. That is over. So if you want to actually become fearless, we have to just accept Krishna as our everything. We have to make our life's mission serving Krishna. Under the guidance, as Prabhupada says, sorry, in this verse that I just quoted, under the guidance of a spiritual master. So the spiritual master who is directly repeating the instructions of Krishna engages us in devotional service. And by that engagement in devotional service, our senses become purified and we're able to understand Krishna. And the more we give ourselves to Krishna, the more you sacrifice to Krishna, the more Krishna makes opportunities for you to serve Him, the more Krishna gives you the intelligence to understand Him in devotional service. So it's amazing that we don't necessarily have to single-handedly endeavor for our own happiness or for our own pleasure, or to say, I'm going to become fearful in my own way. Krishna gives the process, and within the process, everything is included. Krishna says, you worship Krishna, you serve His devotees, you worship the deity, you reside in a holy place, you hear Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, your life will become perfect. And that, as yesterday in our time, Prabhu was mentioning how Krishna bhakti actually belongs to the devotees. Pure devotional service is given by the devotee. It is not given by Krishna. It is given by Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost devotee of Krishna. So we should understand just the potency of following these instructions, the potency of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the potency of hearing these purports where Prabhupada says, just reject this material knowledge as absolute and accept the knowledge given by Bhagavatam. That will rid you of all the fear of material existence. And Lord Chaitanya demonstrates this understanding when he gives his instructions in Nishikshastikam. Namnam akari bahuda nilasava shaktis, that Krishna's name has so much potency. Nishimad Bhagavatam, it has so much potency to revive our dormant love for Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya comes as a devotee to show that he himself as Krishna does not understand the type of transcendental mellows his devotees get into. Therefore, he wants to become a devotee to understand the love Srimati Radharani has. So the devotee enjoys sometimes more than the Supreme Person. So Krishna comes down to the level of a pure bhakta to taste that fearlessness, that complete dependency on Krishna, to taste the holy name. The Lord Chaitanya himself is showing that, you know, becoming a devotee is so glorious. It is so auspicious. Just by worshipping, by becoming a simple devotee of Krishna, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we'll get the topmost pleasure. Although that is not our intention, we're not thinking, yes, I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, I'm going to have so much pleasure in my life. The more you chant, the more you realize you have to chant some more. The more you chant, the more you realize you can't perfect your chanting, because that's the expression of pure love. It is ever increasing. So we can't nail it down and say, I've reached the maximum point of pure bhav. It is ever increasing. That is the nature of spiritual ecstasies. So by hearing these transcendental subject matters, we become attracted. We become attracted to hearing about Krishna, and we become disinterested in all these material so-called enjoyments, material pleasures, material knowledge, searching the web, looking at this magazine, that magazine. There's nothing as pleasurable as reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. There's so much taste there. So when we read these transcendental subject matters, we're ridding ourselves of fear, and we're properly situating ourselves in a strong foundation, in a safety net called Krishna consciousness. Under any circumstance, everything around us changes. Our body changes, our family changes, our friends change, communities, societies change. But Krishna never changes. Life after life, Krishna is with the jiva in the heart. That is the constant. Everything, bodies change, psychology changes. But Krishna never changes towards his parts and parcels. He's always there. So that we should understand and we should realize, and then it will become easy to surrender to Krishna, because he will never change. He says, I will protect you from all fear. Now what type of friend, imagine right now, if we're to be convicted of a felony, a huge crime, you know, someone kind of framed us, our name publicized. You know, people sometimes will reject you. Oh my God, if people see me with you, they'll think, oh, there's the drug dealer who did this and that. So people reject you. But Krishna doesn't. But you were a worm in stool at some point. Krishna was there with you. Imagine that type of friend. You become a hog, he's there with you. You go to the hellish planet, he is there. You become a man, a woman, transvestite, whatever, he is there. So there's actually no fear. Krishna is showing us through his pastimes, there's no fear because I'll always be there for my bhakta. So we understand that, we cultivate this transcendental the right knowledge of oneself and one's relationship with Krishna, then we are in complete fearlessness. Okay, I'll stop and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions on this verse.
You know, you said very nicely that my coming what you realize, and Mahaprabhu came to say, Yare Dehi Kare Kankushkin Kish, and that's what Srila Prabhupada did. In spite of two heart attacks, he said, I have to follow the instruction of my spiritual master. And that was the thing. And in holy name, he had so much faith. Therefore, he went all the way to USA, in spite of so much sickness and heart attacks and everything. And he was successful. Because he said, I'm going to be my spiritual master. You see, you can understand.
Yeah.
And we have to serve the spiritual master and pure devotee, and all the humiliation,
that is the message. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada was Abhai. He was fearless. He was convinced that the Lord will give him protection. That is one of the six points of surrender. You're convinced that Krishna will protect you. And all in your humility, you are convinced that whatever happens, Krishna is protecting me. So we see that conviction in Prabhupada's devotional service.